worship, and this is what we do at our worship segment. It is really to be able to share about what we go through in life, in work, in the challenges of dealing with people, and having to apply our faith as we seek to look at the upward call of God. Now, as Jinky explained, we also have this time of exhortation. And at the last meeting that we had last year, I challenged our group that we want to be able to engage you. We want to be able to experiment and to explore your gifts. And is that something that you want to share with us too? And I was saying that let's look at really using our gifts and that we can extend it in the context of not only in our YAG group, but also to the church as a whole. I'm very glad that we got Jean to do the cakes, and I think Shirlin also helped out along the way. And did you enjoy the cake last week? Yeah, I thought it was excellent. You know, we can take Sudeli for a ride, you know, to compete with them and so on. It was really nicely done, except for the G. I'm glad for that. And every month, they are going to come out with the birthday cake. So I thought that was a nice development as a young adults group. And I also told Yo Chai and Lenya to look at, because they are our photographers, and also that to use the pictures that they have taken. And this is the result. And I was very, very pleased with what they came up with. I asked Lenya, is this really all your pictures? And she said, yes. And I thought it was, do you enjoy that? It was wonderfully done. And I'm going to show this at One Voice. I'm going to use it for my pre-worship for evening service tomorrow. Just to let you know, Lenya. And, you know, and we really can use whatever it is that God has given to us, whether it is pictures, our talents, and we can use it to minister to others. Okay, and that's something that we want to do. Now, I'd just like to let you know, so One Voice is going to begin today at 5 o'clock onwards. And if any one of you would like to join, more than happy, please come and talk to me. And as long as you're not tone deaf. Okay, as long as you're not tone deaf, you can come and join us. Okay, of course, we have to listen to you also. All right, but let me know. More than happy to have you join us. And, you know, we can use our voices to sing for Him, for the Lord. I think that's wonderful. Okay, let's review a little bit. Let's turn to Philippians 1. And on the first week, as we looked at this idea of the upward call, I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, what is it that we are seeking to do upwardly? In the first week, we looked at, it is not just about serving. It is about being born servants. There's a difference. It is about being slaves to God, to righteousness, rather than just going through the motion of serving. So the challenge is, let's learn what it means to be born servants, and let's make it our upward call. Last Saturday, we learned about what it means for us not just to be Christians. You know, in the context of the work life, we have many people who would say, you know, I'm a Christian, but yet not show the kind of Christian qualities that as Christian is meant to be. So instead of just looking at us being Christians, we are meant to be saints. And we looked at how we stand justified before God. We are holy. As long as we have faith in God, whether you like it or not, and I hope that that's something that you like, that we stand holy just before God. But that also leads us to consider pursuing holiness in the context of our lives. And as Moses shared, there will be challenges. Not everybody is going to recognize that, you know, holiness is something that we will want to have. They will look at themselves. They will look at getting ahead. They will look at looking down on others and so on to get ahead. But we want to pursue holiness. And I hope that will be another outward call for yourself. And today we are going to look at the idea of praying or prayer. And I raise this question to you in my letter or email to you. Any of you read my email? I'm always writing things and, you know, it's almost to vacuum. I really don't know whether anybody reads or not. Or you say, oh, Pastor Mark, okay, forget it. You know, next email and so on. That's how I see it. But I'm sure some of you would, maybe one or two, you know. And I raise this question, and the question is there a difference between prayer or praying and prayerfulness? Because we can be praying and yet not be prayerful. Or to have this idea of prayerfulness. You know, so we need to ask ourselves this question as we consider this whole idea of what it means to pray. Because as you look at how the Apostle Paul wrote his epistle to the Philippians, his prayerfulness comes across. You know, he says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Okay, anybody who would like to try this? What's the difference between praying, or prayerfulness? How do we see this as an upward call? Because when we look at prayer, let's talk about prayer just for a quick moment. What is the problem with, as you look at your own prayer life, what are some of the problems that we all face? Anybody? Hong Shen, what is one problem? We look at prayer. Sorry? Okay. There is no faith. What else? Moses? Thoughtful. That means we don't think enough or focus enough. What else? Shirley? Okay, knowledge and understanding. Oh. Don't know what to pray for. Don't know what to pray for. Because I don't know what to write. Don't know what to pray. Yeah, you're right. We don't know what to pray for. What should we pray? Isham? Inconsistency. I think all these are very common, and you know, we all struggle with this. Jeff? Focus. Where? During prayer or? During prayer, right? Lack of focus. We all get distracted. See, we can be praying. We can be praying. But are we prayerful? See, that's the challenge. We want to consider this. Because I think we all struggle with this. Because when we pray and suddenly we think, you know, does God, will He really answer my prayers? You know, we don't put much thought into our prayer. We just pray. And, you know, we recognize time is of the essence. You wake up in the morning. If you wake up too late and, you know, you got to go and change and then you got to go and rush and your bus is coming or your MRT is coming or, you know what, you don't have time. You don't have time to think. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have that, don't think, you know, don't know what to say. You're right. How should we address God as God? Inconsistency. Some days we pray, some days we don't pray. I think we all struggle with this too. When you're praying suddenly, hey, what shall I eat? You know, Lunchtime is coming, you know. Or breakfast is coming. Right? And we don't have the focus. And our mind goes all over the place. See, you all, frankly, all these things are related. You're all related. Problems don't come just one or two. They all come in bunches, you know. And you're all related. We all struggle with this. And you look at your prayer life and you say, you know what? We are praying. But are we prayerful? And as we look at Paul, as he wrote this, what he writes as he talks about praying is a sense of prayerfulness that comes across. And first of all, he reflects this. It has to do with God. He says here, I thank my God. Grace to you, peace from God, our Father. You know, praying is something that should be the most natural response that we all should have. As a relationship between God and us. That we are His children, that He is our Father. And we will cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba really is the word Daddy. And it's a sense of closeness. It's not just formal praying. We all pray formal prayers. But does our prayer reflect closeness with God as our Daddy, our Father? I think we all struggle with relationships with our own fathers. And sometimes we recognize that we can't go beyond a certain level in terms of relating with them. Some of us do. Some of us find it very hard. Some of us may not have a relationship with our fathers. But this is the wonderful privilege that we have. As Paul raises this up, is that we can come to the Lord as our Father and call Him Daddy. This is something that the Lord Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven. How's your relationship with your Father? You know, it's something that we all need to understand. Because it affects the way we pray. Whether we have that sense of conscience that we are coming to our Father to pray. Recently, as what Chinky shared last Saturday, and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, she's not been well. She was in hospital. And it's been tough. 5 days, 4 days the first time. And the following week, another 5 days. And it's not cheap. You know, in Mount Elizabeth, it's not cheap. You're looking at tens of thousands. But you know, one thing good that came out of all these things is that my father-in-law started to pray. And he tells us about it. You know, I prayed to Father last night. Those were his precise words. And it's quite amazing to see how a very, very young Christian like my father-in-law, I believe that he has faith, even though he has not professed. But to see how he genuinely seeks to pray to God. It's just a very simple faith. You say, I hold my, mom's hand and I pray. And I pray that Father will help us. What is your relationship like? Because that affects your prayerfulness. That affects the way in which you regard God in prayer. Because if we don't take the time and the trouble and the energy to pray to our Father in a way that He is truly our Father, then we are just praying. It's not prayerfulness that we are really looking at. Are we conscious that we are coming to our Father? Do we follow the example of the Lord Jesus that He would rise up early in the morning? I like this verse. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And he says here, Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. This was the kind of regard that he gave to his father. He had a very, very busy day, and every day is going to be very busy. People are just coming to look for him. But he recognized that he needs time with his father. And he takes that time seriously, because this is his father. I wake up five plus in the morning each day. And I spend time reading the Lord's word, relating to my father, praying to him. Long before daylight. I think this is our challenge. And of course, you know, if you were to take time to read John 17, you will see how precious his father is to him. Let me ask you this question. How precious is God as father to you? I'm sure as husband and wife, your wife or your husband is precious to you, that you want to spend time with the person. And you want to relate to this person. I mean, with Chinky, I want to relate with her. Now, on Monday, it will be our 13th anniversary. We've been married 13 years. And it's been a wonderful 13 years. God has blessed us in more ways than one. Some years have been good. Some years have been better. I was going to use that word, okay? But, you know, we see how God has blessed. And I will want to relate to her all the time. I mean, we'll look forward to her coming home. You know, I stay home. I mean, I'm in church. My home is there. Doesn't mean I'm a housewife, okay? I'm looking for the spouse to come home. But that's how I feel sometimes. But I'm waiting for her to come home. Then we can go and, you know, have dinner together. We relate together and so on. But that's a relationship. Same with our father. I mean, if we really see God as one who is truly precious and, you know, one who loves us and we seek to love him, then don't just pray. Learn what it means to be prayerful before God. Learn what it means to pray as the Old Testament prophets, the psalmists and apostles. They set the example of what it means to pray. And their prayers are wonderful, beautiful prayers that they will make. Especially the psalmists. They learn what it means to pray. See, they all lead to one to the other. If you begin with yourself as a bond servant, then you will humble yourself before God. Secondly, if we look at ourselves as saints, then we stand correct before God. As in positionally and the way we live our lives. Let me say that how we live our lives affects our prayers. Turn me to Psalm 66, and this is something that I'll be mentioning at the evening service, but it matters. In Psalm 66, it says there, verse 17, I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. See how your life actually affects the way you pray? If we regard sin in our lives, if we regard iniquity in our lives, the Lord will not hear. And that is the understanding of the psalmist as he wrote this psalm. But because he chooses to live his life well, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. I think that's important for us to recognize. That who we are and what we are matters in terms of our prayers. And that's why I say it all relates to one another. we want to be saints too, even in understanding of prayer. And we have this psalmist to, as an example of how we should pray. And David was one psalmist who made excellent prayers that we can learn from, and so on and so forth. Okay, any questions, Taswa? Anybody about prayer? Yep, Jeff. Yeah. Sorry? Do that meaning what? Well, the problem is when you, what do you regard anything in your life? How do you regard it? When you give regard to something, see, notice it is something that you regard in your heart. That means that sin is something that is almost, you have given that regard to that sin. It is something that is almost important. Almost that, you know, you're not willing to part with. You're given that regard to that sin. And God knows. God knows our heart. I don't mean that God is not gracious and so on. He is. But yet, if sin continues to be regarded in a way we, you know, that the psalmist is trying to bring across, then it will affect. It affects our relationship. As long as we are far away from God, and as long as we are away from God, do you think God will hear our prayers? See, that's the assumption. You see, we always think that, well, we just pray and God will hear. Does that answer your question? I know it's a sobering thought. I know it's a challenging thought. And that's why we need to confess our sins before God. We need to bring our sins before Him and to confess. I think there's something. Any other questions concerning this? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yep. God is what? King, yes. Yeah. Just imagine, God who is king is your father. Yeah, precisely that. I mean, don't you think that's amazing? That He is right up there on the throne, and yet we have this wonderful access into His very presence. That we can come to the throne of grace and ask for help in time of need and ask for mercy in time of need. That's what prayer is. So on one hand, yes, He is on that great throne, but wonderfully, He is still Father. See, God, there's so many aspects to this relationship that we have with God. And every aspect is in itself wonderful. See, if you talk about prayer, there is the part where He is on His throne, the sovereign, powerful, almighty King. But yet, He's so close enough that we can come before Him. So we look at a very balanced approach. Because a father, after a while, you can abuse, take advantage of, give me more money, whatever, give me, give me, give me. No. The sense of fear and reverence is always there too. Because He is King. And the relationship is multifaceted. That is the amazing thing about our relationship with God. It is multifaceted. There are so many aspects to it. That is so rich and so wonderful, and for us not to relate with Him, it's, you know, we got to rethink why it's unthinkable. Why can't we learn what it means to relate to God who is so rich and so wonderful? This week at the India camp, I was like, you know, Pastor was sharing things about how God works. And, you know, there were just amazing things from Psalm 66, from Philippians 1,
that God will work in us. He began a good work in you. What does that mean? Why good work? Right?
We'll come to that in time, but
why good work? Wow. And then he who works in you to will and to do. So God works in creation, as what we see through the video done by Lenya and Yochai. But yet at the same time, God works in our lives.
Wow.
So I think it helps us to catch. So sometimes my prayer is very much depending on what I'm thinking. As what, who is that? Thinking, Moses. What I'm thinking, what am I studying, what am I looking at in terms of. So, when I bow down, I'm always thinking God as King.
When I pray, I bow down before Him, I kneel before Him, I see myself as the Knight of the Round Table, you know, and have my sword, and you know what? I'm His soldier. And I bow before Him. But yet, I come to the throne of grace, that I can pray to Him. He is also my Father, that I can relate to Him, that I can understand. And one of the things that we talked about service or relationship with, is that how when I see, you know, the Lord Jesus say, my Father is working, and I am working. There is a tandem, a symbiotic relationship that is there. That is so wonderful. He sees his Father doing, he will do. I was illustrating this to the Indians. This is what you call, a tandem bike is? Right? They don't have tandem bikes over in India. But I drew for them. They said, oh, okay, I won't draw for you. You know, and I told them, this is how. You cannot have one person riding and, you're not riding. Right? And you ride together. You work together. You see your Father working, you will work also. That's your relationship. So if my Father is working, then I will want to work. I don't want to take it easy. We just came back from a very, hectic, busy trip over in India. But yet we come back and we are preparing for weekend. And we are serving. My Father work. I work. That's my relationship. Does that answer your question? Okay, any other questions concerning this? You know, it's such a joy to be able to relate to God in prayer. Now, let's move on a little bit. How do we see the example of Paul in his prayerfulness? Well, it has to do with how he prays. He prays with a heart of thanksgiving. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Are you thankful each day? Do you take time to thank God for all the blessings? I don't mean just saying grace, okay? We all say grace, thank God for the food, amen. You know, and that's about it. Are you really, even saying grace after a while, you ask yourself, are you really, sincerely saying thank you, God, for the food? After a while, it's just a ritual. The word thanks is the word Eucharist. You know, in the Roman Catholic, the Lord's Supper is called the Eucharist. And they got this word from the Greek word for thanks, Eucharist. And what that means really is thanksgiving. That we should give thanksgiving. I thank God for the camp. I thank God for Journey Mercies. You know, we have many close encounters as we travel along the road. And some of them were very, very close. So I told Pastor, your car cannot drive here in India. Pastor's car has a lot of sensors. Not only the front, back, also the sides also. So you drive only, so I say, if you drive this car, you'll go dee 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 throughout the whole trip all the way, and then you will conk out because it's overused, you know? And we had a good laugh. But we thank God. We thank God for His mercies. And we are sincerely thankful. We make requests with joy. Prayer should be done in joy. You know, one of the things that I do when I cry out, Abba, Father, because the thought in itself always, and I mean all the time, brings a very special joy to me, to my heart and to my face. I actually smile when I say, Abba, Father. Because it's such a joy to say that. And it's such a joy to be able to bring my request to God, whatever it may be. And I was praying for Bethany. I was praying for the young adults. I was praying for all those of you who came last week who were new, especially. I thank God for each and every one of you. I name you one by one. And I thank God for it. Seriously. And, you know, that God would help you find a place here and be blessed. And I think some of you brought up also is the idea of knowledge. See, when we pray, and that we don't just pray, but to be prayerful, is that we come to God with a greater sense of depth, knowledge, understanding as we pray. Don't just pray. For we have many things to pray for, concerns to pray for. But enter into the presence of God with a greater sense of depth in knowledge and understanding. In verse 9, it says, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So bring greater depth. So that's why we take time to read the Lord's Word before we pray. That's what I do. I want to be able to have a greater sense of depth. Now, my upward call for this year was very much what Pastor shared, you know, at the youth conference, and that I want to share this at, over the pulpit, that is this excellence of the knowledge of Christ. And I've been chatting each week, what am I learning that's new concerning Christ? It could be familiar verses, but understanding in a much deeper manner. So the previous week was the unsearchable riches of Christ that is found not only in His Word generally, but also in creation. That the manifold wisdom of God is revealed, and one of them is really concerning Christ. So, it's wonderful to be able to see that. And this week, as I look at how it is in Christ, how, you know, what does it really mean to be in Christ? Where God will work in our lives. And that is another thing that's amazing. So each time when we pray, it is always important to be able to say, what is it that I'm understanding about God, understanding about prayer, understanding about faith, that I can bring into this prayer that will make this experience of prayer different from yesterday's experience of prayer? Each day's experience of prayer can be rich and wonderful and with a greater sense of depth, rather than just praying, rather than something that is ritualistic, something that is, after a while, mundane. And you know what? It just goes on and on and on. Same thing every day. Our prayer life is meant to be rich, deep, and wonderful. So look at this, what Paul prayed. He says, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And this was something that we were concerned for our brethren over in India. That we want to pray for them that they will abound in love. Why? Because there were, you see, in the context of the Philippian church, there were infighting in the context of the church. There were women problems. They were fighting with each other. You know, when women fight, that's why they call it a cat fight. Right? Guys fight, they don't say dog fight or whatever. But You know, they came out with a term, catfight. So you know that you can be very vicious when sometimes in the middle of the night you hear, you know, and then there are cats. I mean, sure, you know, there was once in which there were two cats at the vending machine there and they were fighting with each other. Making such, you know, it was 6 a.m. I was opening all the doors and they were screaming like, ayo. So I took the broom and I chased them and then, you know, they ran. Yeah, but you know, this, there was a woman problem. Look at this. And it was an issue that Paul had to raise. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. See? So Euodia and Syntyche, they were fighting. On the left side is Euodia weighing 100 kg. And on the left side ring, we have Syntyche weighing 50 kg. And, you know, well, not really. But you know what? Paul had to address it. Please, abound in love. If you find that, you find it very hard to love somebody, whether it is at home or in church, you struggle with, you know, this person, very hard to. You pray this prayer. Lord, help me to abound in love more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Pray for this love. You know, in India, the women also had problems. They had gossiping problems. Some of them were gossiping, and they were gossiping even about the pastors. So pastor came to know about it. You know what? He had to address it. We have to address. Please, let's all dwell, abound in love. I mean, as a YAG, please, let us learn what it means to abound in love more and more for each other and for our brethren as a church. That should be our prayer. See, why did Paul pray this? Because he was very concerned for the Philippian church. He was very concerned. He was showing love for them. And we want to be able to say, you know what, let's learn to love. We should pray this rather than not. We want to have greater depth. And when you do that, then you're not just praying. You're being prayerful. And we need more wisdom. Let me encourage you. You know, I was teaching the young adults in India. And we were teaching about the work of God in our lives. And one of them came up to me and said that, you know, Pastor Mark, I mean, she spoke in Tamil and translated. He said, you know, I'm married to somebody who is mentally not well. And immediately when she mentioned the person, said, I know who he was. See, this was somebody that pastor objected. You know, that's the problem with arranged marriages. And pastor objected, no, he shouldn't be getting married. And the family wants to marry him off because he's mentally not well. They want to marry him off so that the wife can look after him. And it's so unfair. So when she came out to me and said, you know, I'm married to this person. And, you know, my heart really went out to her. I mean, why is the wisdom that you know, for the family to make such a decision, for her to make such a decision. And what can you do? You're tight. You know, so you're in a marriage, you can't get out. If you get out, you are considered, you know, society, you are not, once you are divorced, you know what? You're gone. There was another lady who, you know, she was such a bright lady, she could speak English very well, got married to this guy who is more interested about himself. You know, he's a bodybuilder. And in the end, you know what? He didn't care about her. He said, you can go back. And finally, he got divorced. She got divorced. And once she's divorced in the church, you know what? She didn't even come out to talk to us. It's like, you know, it's such a shame already. And she would just sit quietly at one corner and that's it. You're gone. It's so unfortunate. And you know, my heart went out to that. I prayed for this person, that God will give her strength to cope with life
You know, it's a choice that is going to affect the rest of her life. And immediately I thought of all the ladies here and our church ladies and so on. Please, be wise. Choose well. Whether you're getting married or whether you're thinking of getting married or still choosing someone to get married to, please, love with all this one. Don't just love. Oh, I love you. And we will live for the rest of our lives happily ever after, like Snow White. Come on, wake up. Right? Love, yes, but with knowledge and discernment. Be wise, please. And that was my prayer for all of you, seriously. Whether guy or girl, I'm very concerned, okay? Because you have to come for marriage counseling, then post-marriage counseling, and then, wow. Please think long-term, don't just think now, okay? And that's my heart. You see, I'm not just praying. I'm learning what it means to be prayerful, because I'm praying with a great sense of concern for our brethren. Think, please, be wise. Choose well. As long as you never say, I do. Okay? Once you say, I do, you are done. It's fixed, you know, it's marriage, that's it. But before you say, I do, please, think well. Okay? Alright. Okay, enough. Let's move on. But you know, that's what it means for us to pray. To pray for that which is okay. Let's move on. Verse 10. Right? More and more in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Please choose well. Choose that which is excellent. Don't settle with, okay lah, this one, alright, this one. No, I don't mean being choosy and so on, no. But choose well. Don't say, oh, beggars cannot be choosers. Please, you're not a beggar. Please, think well. Be wise. Choose that which is excellent. One who is excellent of character, excellent of faith, excellent. I mean, yeah, I understand. We all don't have ideas. Wow, we are. I understand that too. Sure. But please, learn. Be wise. Guys, please rise up also. You know, be an excellent choice. I'm serious. Pray, Lord, give me wisdom, give me strength, increase my faith, let me grow in character. Then you'll be someone, you know, sometimes people ask me, you know, Pastor Mark, I want to, you know, I think of this person, I want to get, you know, considering this person. Then I ask you, and I ask the person, but what are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? I'm serious. Right? Come on. Rise up. All the guys, come on. Rise up. I mean, be a good choice for somebody so that when you choose somebody, somebody say, wow, yeah, good choice, good choice. Okay? Please. Right? And, you know, be one who is, look, it goes on to say that it's excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. Be sincere. Don't be deceptive. Wow, you know, being trying to be suave. Dun, 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 you know? And, you know, please, ladies, don't be deceived by all these things, okay? That's James Bond and all these kind of things. Huh? Look, be sincere. Huh? Without offense. Be filled with fruits of righteousness. That's what we want. Fruits of the Spirit. This is another way of saying fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of righteousness. Which are by Jesus Christ. See, last week we were talking about buy in. By Jesus Christ. All that is, you know, who Christ is. That is what is being understood by. To the glory and praise of God. See, this is how we want to be prayerful. We want to be able to pray these things for ourselves and for others, for the church, that we will be able to really be kind of church and persons that God would
really work. See, I hope that you will take time. Okay, we are going to end quite soon, because one of the things that we want to do is to give an item for the Chinese New Year special. Okay, whether you can speak Chinese or not, we are going to sing in Chinese, including myself. Okay, so if I can do it, anybody can do it. All right, but you want to take time to examine your prayer life. How real is it? How meaningful is your prayer life? How consistent? Well, we raise up the issue. We tend to be inconsistent. How significant is it? You know, these are questions that we want to examine. And I hope that you will take time to examine your prayer. When, the next time when you pray, ask yourself these questions. How real is prayer? How meaningful is it? Or are we just saying words to God? How consistent are we? How significant? Well, this is our challenge. And what do we want to really cultivate when we talk about prayerfulness? Well, we want to have a deeper faith rather than one that is shallow. As long as our faith is shallow, as long as we don't have knowledge, as long as we don't go deeper in our understanding, then our prayer life will always be shallow. We want to take time to practice. The Lord Jesus, He rose up early, way before sunrise, and He took time to practice. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort. But we want to practice this rather than, you know, forget it, it's too hard. That's why we call it a discipline. It takes discipline for us to pray to God. We want to respond to the Holy Spirit teaching us. The Holy Spirit will always lead us to prayer. If you are led not to prayer, you are led to other things, then it is your own spirit. The Holy Spirit will always lead us to cry out, Abba, Father. When you enter into prayer, when you say, you know what, I need to enter into prayer, be conscious, the Holy Spirit is actually leading you into prayer. See, that's what prayerfulness, that you're conscious of God, of the Lord Jesus, and of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Through a heart of love and communion with God. See, it boils down to a very basic question is, how much do you love God? Do we really love God enough to take time to pray to Him or not? Do we love the church? Do you love Bethany? I mean, I love Bethany. So while I was in India, I was thinking of Bethany. I was thinking whether the church is still standing. I was thinking of the interns. They had an exam this week. Right? How was the exam? Nathaniel, how was the exam? Life-changing. Whoa. Good answer. Right? Life-changing. Yeah. First question, they took one whole day or more. Right? They took one day. The hardest question was the first question. And that had to do with, how do you look at creation and in relation to the Psalms and the Prophets? So if you don't know the Psalms, if you don't know the Prophets, you have to read. That's why it took so long. And, you know, it's wonderful. But you know what? We learn what it means to have this sense of love for the church. So I was praying for them as they did their exams. It was a fun exam. I remember those fun days when Pastor Mitch and I took those exams. And my heart went out to you. Love for the brethren. I hope that you will learn to pray for each other. That you will learn to pray for, you know, those who are, you know, of concern. Love for the brethren. And we want to be able to have this kind of heart as we pray. This week, memory verse. Very easy. Three words only. Pray without ceasing. Okay, let's recite together. Ready to go. Pray without ceasing. Wow, excellent. Yeah, but that's what prayerfulness is to pray without ceasing.
Everything, every concern, every matter, every person you bring before God. Pray without ceasing.
You know, over in India, I was teaching, and, you know, I was very concerned for the people. And I was trying to think, okay, Lord, how should I change this, and how should I? And I prayed, Lord, you help me. You help me to know how I can teach this better. And he did. Suddenly, you know, he said, hey, yeah, actually, maybe I should try this. And I was glad. And, you know, to be able to teach the Lord's word in this way. Pray without ceasing. Bring all matters to the Lord. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, or even in church, we learn what it means to pray. Because before I came up, my prayer was to the Lord, Lord, help me to pray. Help me to teach your word. Let's learn what it means to pray. Let's come to our Father. And let's bring not just our same usual self, but a greater sense or awareness of what it means for us to be prayerful. Let's learn to pray to the Lord that has been exemplified by Paul and many others. Let's truly learn to be challenged to cultivate this sense of prayerfulness. Let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray even as we come before you. We recognize that you are our great God, and yet you are our Father. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive us. Forgive us for how often that we have taken this privilege of access into your throne of grace for granted. How often that we have sinned by not praying, how often that we have sinned by not being prayerful enough. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive us and cleanse us of all these things that are wrong in how we should approach prayer. Give us a greater sense of life in the way we would pray, and to have a greater sense of prayerfulness in faith, in understanding, in the way we will practice prayer. May even as we pray next will be a meaningful, enriching moment. Moments that we can worship and praise you for who you are. We ask for your special blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, one of the things that, especially for those of you who are new,